Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, friends, welcome to Stand in the Gap Today. This is Dave Kistler along with Sam Rohr and Gary Dahl. And if you are a professional football fan and you watched any of yesterday's Super Bowl, you have to know that that game was one for the ages. It did not turn out the way I was hoping it would turn out because I am not necessarily a large Patriots fan. But I will have to say this, Tom Brady is one of the best, and yesterday he illustrated why he is one of the best in the history of the National Football League. The comeback in overtime was absolutely amazing, and it was certainly a game for the ages. I wish we had more time to talk about that, but because today's program, we trust, is going to be one for the ages, we have so much about which to talk with you, then we're going to jump right into the middle of the discussion today. And we're going to start in segment one with the travel ban, quote-unquote, as it's being called, the executive order signed by Donald Trump and the litigation of it in court, what you're not being told. And there's some amazing things that we're going to get into momentarily that you're not being told. Then in segment two, we're going to let you listen to the very front lines of Iraq from a gentleman who's there, and he's going to speak with incredible directness and courage with respect to why President Trump's extreme vetting of refugees and immigrants coming from these seven countries that are now on this list is absolutely essential for our national survival. Then in segment three, what country is now being called the jihad's Trojan horse? I think you're going to be a little bit, in fact, you're going to be shocked by what country is absolutely the hotbed for more jihadist terrorists coming into the West and into the United States than any other. And then in segment four, at the inaugural prayer breakfast on January 20, there was an amazing message delivered that has gotten very little attention. But some of what was said in it by a well-known Christian pastor is absolutely going to be something you've got to hear and something we're going to discuss. All of that yet to come in the program. But let's go to what happened over the weekend, over the last several days. You know that there was a judge who issued a stay on President Trump's executive order, temporarily barring entry into the United States by those from Iraq, Iran, Syria, Yemen, Sudan, Libya, and Somalia. And this judge erroneously claimed in his courtroom that no person from those seven countries have been arrested in the United States since 9/11. This past Friday, there was a courtroom exchange between Department of Justice lawyer Michelle Bennett, and by the way, she was arguing in behalf of the Trump administration, and the federal judge who issued this temporary stay. His name is James Robart. And in that exchange in the courtroom, Robart asked this question: how many arrests have there been of foreign nationals from those seven countries since 9/11? To which Michelle Bennett said, quote, "I don't know the specific details of attacks or planned attacks." And then Robart followed up by saying, "The answer to that is none, as best I can tell." Well, let me tell you, friends, he was clearly wrong. Travelers and immigrants from those seven countries have indeed been involved in the murders of Americans, as well as other incredibly heinous crimes. Let me just mention four to you very, very quickly. In October of 2009, police arrested an Iraqi Muslim immigrant for running over his 20-year-old daughter to punish her from becoming what he said was too westernized. The daughter ultimately died of her injuries, and the father was sentenced to 34 years in prison. Then in November of the same year, 2009, you will well remember that Major Nadal Hassan fatally shot and killed actually 14 people, because one of the people he killed was carrying a baby. The baby died as well. 14 people injured, more than 30 others in Fort Hood, Texas. And so you're very familiar with that one. Nadal Hassan, of course, was following Yemeni-based Imam Anwar al-Awlaki and following him, and had communicated back and forth with him many, many times. Then in 2011, Rahim Al-Fetlawi, who was 47 years old, an Iraqi native living in Minneapolis, shot his stepdaughter fatally in the head because she moved away and was becoming again, quote unquote, too westernized. And as a result, he was sentenced to life in prison. And then one final example, September 17 of last year, 2016, Dahir Ahmed Adan, Born in Somalia, entered a mall in St. Cloud, Minnesota. He was dressed as a security guard. He began stabbing individuals before an off-duty police officer shot and killed him. And I could go ahead and give more. I'll not do that. But friends, this judge was as off base as he could possibly be. I'm not sure what he was thinking, but he clearly wasn't in touch with the facts when he said there have been no arrests. There's not only been arrests, there have people been sentenced for violent crimes and attacks against the United States, and they have come from one of those seven countries. Sam, I want to ask you this. What is it about these people? And when I say these people, I'm talking about federal judges, members of Congress, the media, that they just don't get it. I'd like to address, you to address each group as to their particular blindness, their political bent, their agenda, whatever it is that keeps them from understanding. We have a problem with Islamic ideology and people coming from those seven countries at least. Why do these people not get it?
Dave, I'm not sure that they don't get it. I believe that they do get it, but they're on the wrong side. Now, let me expand upon that just a little bit. Many of the judge appointees, and I'm not quite sure if this one was appointed by Barack Obama or not, but many of the judges appointed by Barack Obama, and some even under President Bush before, were judges who, in fact, were not chosen because they were constitutionalists, because they were literal interpretationists of the Constitution. They were not selected because of their justice and their view of justice. They were selected because of their political correctness. And this is one example of that. So whether it's a transgender issue, it's an abortion issue, or in this case, it's an Islamic issue, they are on the politically correct side, and it's not the side of a constitution or protection of the American citizenship. Now, Dave, there are two things, and we can get more into it in the discussion, but there are two things that are being misapplied here. Number one, there is great confusion over the understanding that the role of government in protecting its people and justice is totally different than what the role of the church is and what it is supposed to do relative to immigrants. That's number one. And number two, there is it's the purpose for which immigrants are to what their primary purpose is. The United States is not an open door nation, meaning open its doors to anybody from anywhere at any time. Never has been. Dave, our doors have been open to people who have come who are willing to assimilate and become a part of our culture, recognizing our dependence on Judeo-Christian underpinnings of our law and be a part of it. These people do not agree with those Judeo-Christian underpinnings, and so they are not only not protecting, Dave, what we're doing, they're actually bringing in people to weaken and destroy. This is the problem. We can get more into it, but Dave, these are the essence of it.
Well, this judge actually was nominated in 2003 by George Bush. He went to the federal bench the year after that for the western part of the state of Washington. And he is also known for doing pro bono work for refugees and sees the court system, listen to this, Sam, as a means to help people. Okay. Not
there
interpret
you go.
The Constitution, but as a means to help people. So you hit the nail squarely on the head. Friends, when we come back from the break, we're going to go right to the country of Iraq, to the front lines, and let you listen to a man who says what President Trump is doing with his travel ban is exactly what we need. Don't miss it after the break.
I'm sitting here right now looking at the beautiful full-color Founders Bible. In addition to the trustworthy New American Standard text, it contains original historical artwork, as well as 64 full-color insert pages, 150 biographies or insightful quotes from the founders, and 450 pages of embedded commentary highlighting biblical insights. This beautiful leather-bound volume produced by historian David Barton has a gold-embossed APN logo on the front. It can be yours this month as you support APN with a gift of $250 or more. To see it and make your gift, go to AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. That's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. If you can't send $250 right now, we'd still like to hear from you. In gratitude for a gift of any amount, we'll send you a wonderful audio CD by Sam Rohr entitled God's Plan for a Blessed Nation. It will bless and challenge you. Let us hear from you today. Remember, all gifts to APN are tax deductible. Thank you, and God bless you.
Hello, this is Sam Rohr. Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and His works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
He started his professional career as a radio host in Iowa, served in the Army Air Corps during World War II, and became an actor appearing in over 50 films. He was the president of the Screen Actors Guild, switched from Democrat to Republican, and became governor of California. At the age of 70, he was the oldest person elected president of the United States. In 1981, he survived an assassination attempt. Who was he? Ronald Reagan, born this day, February 6, 1911. President Ronald Reagan stated, "If we ever forget that we are one nation under God, then we will be a nation gone under."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
Common Core lesson?
I just can't get it. They are teaching us to use emotional words to get our way. In my Voices workbook, see this question? My mom always nags me or asks me to clean my room. I chose asks me, and it was wrong. They want me to say she nagged me, but I didn't think that was fair or nice. Why was I wrong?
Oh, honey, you were right. That isn't nice. These Common Core lessons are awful.
Get Common Core out of your state. If you made this your one and only project, you could change the country. Learn more about federal Common Core and Pennsylvania Core standards and call your representatives today. Ask them to stop the national takeover of education. Go to PARestoringEducation.org or call Richard at 484-678-2236. This message brought to you by Pennsylvanians Restoring Education.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
What's going on? I just wanted to take a minute and reach out to everybody and talk about a certain subject that came up the other morning. And I think people should know about it. Obviously, I don't work over in the United States. I work overseas, and I'm currently in Iraq, which is one of the countries that were on the list. And there's been a lot of discussion about the executive order. Obviously, in the United States, there's lots going on, and over here, there's a lot going on as well. Just a lot of things you all don't see. So the other morning, we were having a discussion on the executive order, and a lot of the Iraqis, obviously, showed their displeasure in this executive order, and why they feel like they've been betrayed by the United States and so on. Now, I'm not here to get into a discussion with you about policies or this or that or anything like that. I just want to talk to you and make a comment about the discussion I actually had with these gentlemen. So I listened to what they had to say, and after they were done, you know, yelling and screaming about their opinion on things, I asked a simple question, and I got an answer to that simple question. I got it without hesitation. My simple question was, as an American, if I went out in town right now, would I be welcome? And they instantly said, absolutely not, you would not be welcome. And I said, okay, so what would happen if I went out of town? And they said, the locals would snatch me up and kill me within an hour. I'd be tortured first, and after they were done torturing me, I'd probably be beheaded. It would, you know, go on video for everybody to see as, you know, an example. And so I already knew this was going to happen, but I wanted to hear it from them. And, you know, the point I'm trying to make is, you know, this is the local populace that would do this. This isn't ISIS. This isn't Al-Qaeda. This isn't the PMU. This isn't a militia from the Iranians or anything like that. This is the local populace that would do this. So my question to them was pretty simple then after that. If you would do this to me in your country, why would I let you in my country? Because all this means to me is that if you have the opportunity to take the life of an American, you would do it.
Friends, you have been listening to Steve Gern, and I wanted to play this right out of the break because Steve is a contractor in Iraq, and friends, he looks just like he sounded on that video clip. He is a heavily muscled, tattooed, bearded, all-around tough guy, former Marine. He's probably done all kinds of special operations work as a contractor in Iraq, and what he was saying is he asked the locals, what would happen to me after the signing of this executive order if I went out into town? Would I be welcomed? And they said, you would not be welcomed. What would happen to me? They said to him, you would be captured. You would be tortured. You would then be beheaded. And the question that Steve asked, Gary, is very, very important. If I would be treated like that by you, just the local people, in Iraq, why should I allow you into my country? Because what you're telling me is if you have the opportunity to kill an American, you would do it. So, Gary, let me ask you a question. What Steve ultimately says, and we did not have time to play that, but he ultimately says what President Trump is doing with this temporary travel ban, limiting people that are refugees or immigrants from these seven countries from coming into America, is not only right, it is absolutely essential for our national survival. Gary, speak to why that is not only right for our national survival, but it is right from a spiritual standpoint, a biblical standpoint, with what the responsibility of government is to keep the American citizenry safe.
Well, David, you know, that statement by Steve Gern is very, very revealing, and I would hope that that would be heard by hundreds and thousands of and millions of people across the United States of America. I think that one of the reasons why it is so concerning to me and why I appreciate the statement is because we've got people today who are really criticizing Donald Trump for what he is doing in this ban, in this temporary ban, I might add. The only thing that he is doing is trying to keep the citizens of the United States of America safe. And with this particular testimony that Steve Gern gave us, we can see very, very clearly that allowing certain people into the United States of America who believe in, who follow the teaching of Muhammad is a very, very, very serious situation. You see, David, where we are today is, number one, people do not want to understand, and people will not give in to the recognition of what Muhammad teaches. For instance, in Surah 929, Allah told Muhammad to, quote, fight against such of those who have been given the scripture as believe not in the day of Allah or the last day. In other words, that particular verse inspires militant Muslims to fight people who do not accept the religion of Islam. And then in the Hadith, which really is Muhammad's commentary and his own particular words, he says this. He says, in essence, Muhammad said, convert or die. He declared, I've been ordered by Allah to fight the people till they say, none has the right to be worshipped but Allah alone. Here's the point, David. Islam and radical Islam has the desire to kill people who do not follow Muhammad. That is what we emphasize over and over again on this particular program. That is why what Steve Gern said is so significant. That is why this temporary ban that Donald Trump has given, President Donald Trump has given out, is very significant. And one of the things that concerns me, actually twofold, then I'll be finished. Number one is the fact that you've got what I call infidel judges sitting on the benches of these courts across this nation who are more interested in pleasing the people than they are upholding the law of the land. Judges should be on the same page as Donald Trump when it comes to uphold the law of the land and to maintain the security of this nation. The second thing that I want to bring out is the fact that pastors all across this nation, as it relates to Islam and what we are talking about today, must do as it says in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season. Here it is, Brother Dave, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. It's very significant that we as pastors teach the truth about Islam and pray that citizens across this nation, from the White House right down to the church house, will understand how serious radical Islam is.
Well, friends, the clip that I played to you from Steve Gern, we found out just moments before we went on the air, has been pulled from YouTube, and actually we were able to procure it from another location. But yesterday, it was up on YouTube. Now they are saying YouTube is that it violates their policy with respect to hate speech. And Sam, that in and of itself is an issue that needs to be discussed, because 50 million people or thereabouts had watched this video since Steve posted it about 3 or 4 days ago, and now it has been pulled. Sam, what does that say about the collusion that is trying to keep the truth of what's going on and what our president is trying to do to keep America safe? What does that say?
Dave, what it says is that that free speech as we have it under our Constitution is no longer free speech, number one. Number two, it also shows the embedded nature of Islamic activity directed by the Muslim Brotherhood here in our country, how they have permeated, integrated and like termites within the structure, embedded themselves within levels of government. That's what Barack Obama did throughout government. They have embedded themselves in the media, and they have sympathizers within levels of judgeships within the court system. Dave, this is what they have been attempting to do and have been doing for the last 20 years since 9/11. When the Brotherhood came on the scene here after 9/11, they have been implementing and embedding themselves within our structures of government. These are the things that they're doing to try and change the public narrative, to chastise or to denigrate the president or anyone else who would be simply doing and upholding their constitutional oath to protect the American people against those enemies, foreign and abroad. Dave, this is not a religious argument. This is an argument that goes to whether or not we are going to stand and say we are Americans under a constitutional rule of law, or we're going to be bowing now in the process to those who are purporting Sharia law. Dave, this is what's at the heart of this, and this shows how embedded and deeply embedded they are.
Well, Sam, it does. And I want to ask you one final question. You were with Dr. Frank Gaffney, if I'm not mistaken, last week. And I would love to know, because that man knows more about the threat Islam poses to the United States and has talked about it perhaps more than anyone else. What was his, or what is his opinion about this quote unquote travel ban that Trump has implemented?
Well, Dave, I can tell you his opinion and many others, some we've had on the program, John Guandalo from Understanding the Threat and many others, when we asked them, even as we had a call Friday on this within our organization here, what they said was, when I asked, do you support what the president has done with this limited ban to these 7 countries for a temporary period of time, do you support it? The answer is absolutely we do. When I said, does it go far enough? They will respond, he needs to go much further. It will not work and be sufficed just by itself. Dave, it hasn't gone far enough. That changes the debate even further.
Yes, it does, Sam. Excellent, excellent point. And friends, when we come back from the break, we're going to uncover what some are calling jihad's Trojan horse. It is a country. Well, what country is it? Friends, you're going to be amazed, absolutely amazed, at what country is exerting influence through the infiltration of people into the West and America for our destruction. Don't miss it after this timeout.
These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. Thomas Paine, The American Crisis, 1776.
News Radio. I'm Pam Puso. The Justice Department is hours away from a deadline. The administration is hopeful a court of appeals will reinstate the ban on travelers from seven predominantly Muslim countries.
The attorneys general for Washington State and Minnesota say the temporary restraining order should remain in place because the president had, in their words, unleashed chaos by signing the order.
Fox's John Decker, the Ninth Circuit, based in San Francisco, is widely considered the most liberal federal appeals court. Preparations for a big parade in Boston following New England's Super Bowl win.
They earned it all the way. Thought we responded to a lot of challenges throughout the course of the year.
Patriots head coach Bill Belichick.
It was just a great team performance, so I'm so proud to be a part of this team.
Quarterback and MVP Tom Brady, nearly 112 million viewers caught the game on Fox. Fox News, we report, you decide.
WFYL. From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. In defending its taking and use of taxpayer dollars, Planned Parenthood often makes claims that simply aren't true. For example, not a single Planned Parenthood clinic does mammograms, though its president has claimed they do. One of the latest bald-faced lies is that the organization provides prenatal care to pregnant women who come to Planned Parenthood facilities. Our team, with the help of some great volunteers, called every Planned Parenthood in Pennsylvania, and not one, not a single one, does prenatal care, even though their websites all say they did. And Live Action checked out other states and found the same reality: Planned Parenthood does not provide prenatal care. After we exposed this information, Planned Parenthood changed their Pennsylvania websites. Maybe they should change their name, too, since it has nothing to do with parenthood, after all. Abortion is the name of their game, and they shouldn't receive 1 cent of taxpayer dollars. Go to our website at pafamily.org to get a free copy of our latest report on Planned Parenthood.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, friends, this past Friday, 14 people were arrested in raids in the Austrian capital of Vienna. And prosecutors say that the coordinated action, which led to those arrests, involved more than 800 officers and was part of an ongoing investigation into suspected membership in the terrorist organization ISIS. Police also reportedly raided unofficial mosques where supporters of ISIS, against which the Trump administration has certainly declared war, may have been meeting. And among those that were arrested were four people from the country of Bosnia. Now, you're hearing me correctly, and this is vitally important. These people are suspected of being part of what is called the Bosnian Network, run by a terrorist who received a 20-year prison sentence in July of 2016 for recruiting young fighters into ISIS. The gentleman's name is Ibu Tijma, and he brainwashed dozens of people from the ages of 14 to 30 and enlisted them to fight for ISIS in Syria. And Bosnia's status, the country of Bosnia's status as an Islamic terror sanctuary, was recently confirmed by an updated United Nations Security Council sanctions list, which said that that country of Bosnia has or houses the offices of seven terrorist groups, including ISIS and Al-Qaeda. as well. The leading commander of Al-Qaeda's linked al-Nusra Front also hails from Bosnia. Now, here's the problem. For the past 25 years, men, Bosnia has been the darling of the liberal humanitarian interventionists who have nurtured Bosnia's image as a supposedly helpless victim of Serbian aggression. And now here is my question. If the true nature of Bosnia is that they are housing terrorist organizations that ultimately are going to be coming to the West and to America, and the American people, because of the lies being told by those in the media, cannot get the truth about what Bosnia is, those same arguments are the ones that are also advanced here in the United States, Sam, with respect to these refugees from Syria, these immigrants from the Middle East. So what chance do we have if what is happening in Bosnia is being covered up? What chance do we have, Sam, of getting the truth in America and legitimately protecting our people from this kind of terror threat?
Dave, it's a matter of covering the basic truth relative to what makes a nation, our constitution, and the purpose of government being to protect its people. Those are the basic things that are at play here, Dave, but it shows the embedded nature. Now, let me connect these things together here now. Understand, we've talked in this program all through last year leading up to the election by saying, look at the ideological enemies of freedom, of the United States, of Christianity, and of Israel. They're together. They are the Islamists, they are the globalists, and they are the establishment. Dave, these are the three entities that are continuing today, now rallying their forces around this whole effort of immigration, which, again, they were the ones that said, open the door to Europe, open the door to the United States, bring them all in. Dave, this was not an act of compassion by these groups. This was an act of treachery, treason by these groups to destabilize the nations of the state, to prepare it for a global order. And so when you have a Trump who says, I'm going to oppose globalism and I'm going to oppose those radical Islamists that want to destroy our country and the Western world, it's the same thing. It's not you're fighting. You're seeing across Europe, Dave. Tie it together with the nationalistic effort, the Brexit issue, tie it together with the Islamists. These pieces remain together. Soros and others are right smack in the middle of this thing, and they are bringing together these anarchists all under this rubric of these three, Dave, and it's all about taking down any nation that's going to stand in the way of a global government. Keep these things in mind. I think they're very key.
Sam, you could not have said that any better. And friends, what Sam just laid out, the three ideological enemies of the United States are these things that we have talked about on this program many, many times. It bears being underscored again because it is absolutely essential that you hear the truth. And the media is covering for most of this because they are complicit. Gary, I want to go to you because if you pay any attention to social media, there is all kinds of cries out there, even among those that are within the pastoral or clergy community, that what Donald Trump has proposed to keep America safe is anti-Christian because it is not reflecting the heart of those of us who follow Christ. We're not reaching out to the refugee and the immigrant. And some have even said, and it is absolutely ridiculous, it is angering every time I see it, that Jesus was a refugee. Jesus was no refugee at all. But all of this terminology is being used. So, Gary, what I'd like for you to do is help our audience understand the appropriate or correct Christian response to a legitimate, genuine humanitarian crisis, as opposed to all of these false crises that are being set up for the destruction of the United States.
Okay, Dave, I'd be happy to do that. But before I do that, I want to take off on something that Sam said that just crossed my mind. And I'm glad that Sam brought out those three groups, the Islamists, the globalists, and the establishment. You know, one of the things that we don't know, David, is, and I address this to Sam as well, one of the things that we do not know is how much of Islam has become embedded in American thought today. Not only that, but how much of Islam is embedded into the thinking of the Christian today. You know, Islam is out there telling everybody that they are a peaceful religion. And yet we know that they are not a peaceful religion. And I can remember 15, 20 years ago being invited to go over to Morocco to teach the government there what Christianity is all about. And we met in Washington, D.C. with the ambassador of Morocco, as well as their religious minister of religion. And over and over again, they said, "We love Jesus. We love Jesus. Islam is a religion of peace." And there were pastors sitting around in that room in those days, several times we met, who fell into this. Of course, the trip did not go. But here's my point that I'm trying to make, is that so much of the truth of Islam is being veiled today. Number one, because preachers aren't preaching it over the pulpit. And number two, because people are giving into this propaganda to the point that I just wonder, Dave and Sam, how much of Islamic culture has embedded itself into American thought and into even the thought process of Christians. Because, men, you know, the Bible teaches us that in the latter days, people will be believing a lie. And I kind of think that that's perhaps what we are seeing today in the Islamists, in the globalists, in the establishment, in the liberal media, that is leading us down the road that says, hey, the president of the United States can't even protect his country anymore. And yet he has, you know, he not only has the constitutional right to protect this country, he has the moral right to protect this country. And that's all that our president is trying to do. Now, to answer your question, I just want to say it this way. All humanitarian aid must be based upon actual truthful facts. You know, we need discernment in this. Just because it appears to be a need does not mean that we need to reach out to that need. And I want to bring this down to the average local church. The average local church realizes and experiences the fact that on a regular basis, there are people that will come to that church asking for help. A lot of the people who come to a local church that asks for help don't need help. They're pulling the wool over our eyes. And the fact of the matter is that any pastor, any deacon board, any church staff member must, whenever there is the cry for humanitarian need, dig into the situation, find out all the facts, and then help out people when they can be helped out, but reject people when all the facts aren't there, when they are trying to pull the wool over our eyes. And I think that not only is that relates to the local church, it also relates to what we do in a national reaching out in a so-called humanitarian crisis as well.
So, Gary, what you're advocating here is extreme vetting on the part of the local church into those that come looking for help. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and we've got to do it on the national basis as well. We can't go into this blinded, because it'll lead us down the wrong path over and over again to the point that it'll hurt the nation, it'll hurt individuals in the nation, and, David, it'll hurt those who are attempting to do good and hurt those who really do have a crisis.
Sam, let me ask you this, because the numbers are out there and you may have them readily at your fingertips. I don't. But the number of Christians fleeing the Middle East because of persecution that have not been allowed into the United States under the Obama administration, as opposed to those that are of an Islamic ideology that have been welcomed into this country with open arms. Sam, the dichotomy, the distinction between the two is absolutely stunning, which should say something, should it not, to the American people, that the last 8 years of the Obama administration has been, if it's been about anything, it's been about the unfettered allowance of access into this country of entities that are bent on our destruction.
Dave, I think of the last 100,000, the numbers that I heard last year, of 100,000 immigrants that were brought in under the Obama administration, I believe 36 of 100,000 were Christians.
Wow.
It's not even 1%, Dave. It's way below. Of course, we have said that, and we've had experts on this program who have said it. It is not about giving hope and effort to those who are really being persecuted. This is about destabilizing our country with a predominant opposing ideology. That's what it's about.
Well, it could not have been said better, Sam, and I know some are going to accuse us of being unfeeling and unchristian, but friends, it is anything but unfeeling and unchristian. We're trying to raise an alarm and bring out the truth. When we come back, you're going to hear some incredible comments that came from the inaugural prayer breakfast from one of America's foremost preachers. Absolutely stunning stuff in support of Donald Trump.
Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press Materials place great value on the knowledge of God in His works. They teach critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press Materials are available for grades K to 12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press Materials are well-written, grade-level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teachers' editions assure that instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and ultimately create new solutions. And that's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
Americans are a freedom-loving people. Wouldn't it be great if you could carry a copy of the essential documents that outline our freedoms written by our nation's founders in your pocket so you can refer to it every day? Well, now you can. Stand in the Gap Radio has found something you're sure to like, the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide. The handy guide is a slim 6.5 by 3.5 inches, yet it includes the Declaration of Independence, the U.S. Constitution, the preamble to the Bill of Rights, and other influential documents, including, in the words of our founders, topical quotes from America's founders, plus a listing of online resources for further research by the serious-minded or the just plain curious. To see and request your copy of the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide and make your tax-deductible gift of any amount, go to AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. That's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. Let us hear from you today. Thank you, and God bless you.
Your child deserves the best. Shouldn't that include an exceptional education? PA Leadership Charter School is a kindergarten through 12th grade online public school serving students across Pennsylvania. Voted number one cyber school in PA, PA Leadership Charter School provides a flexible but structured approach to education. Visit PALCS.org or call 1-877-725-2785 to learn more. That's PALCS.org. PA Leadership Charter School is training tomorrow's leaders today.
Young Winston struggled in school. He failed the entrance exam twice before entering Britain's military academy. His early success in politics gave way to midlife failure. And in the mind of the public, his career was ended. Of course, we all know Winston Churchill went on to become England's Prime Minister during World War II. But did you know that, after the war, voters tossed him out of office, despite his wartime leadership and popularity? This is Howard Butt Jr. of Laity Lodge. Churchill's career reminds us that early failure cannot predict future success. Neither can present success guarantee the future. The best thing, the only thing, is to do your best, be your best in each moment in the high calling of our daily work.
Learn more at thehighcalling.org.
Never give in. Never give in.
Winston Churchill's words stirred his country in the face of defeat.
Never, never, never.
Today they inspire us to reach for our own victories. Commitment. Pass it on from the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, last May, the first week of May, which is always the National Day of Prayer Week, the first Thursday in May is actually the day designated as National Day of Prayer. Last year in May in Washington, D.C., one of the speakers was Rabbi Jonathan Kahn. He has been called by some America's prophet. But at the National Day of Prayer event last May, he spoke. But friends, he did an amazing thing. He looked right into the camera in the back of the room, and though there were about 500 of us in the room, and I was there to hear this phenomenal message, he addressed really President Barack Obama and called him out. I mean, literally called him out, not in a disrespectful way, but in a very biblical, prophetic way, like an Old Testament prophet would do, called him out on all the things that he had done in his 8 years as president, that were absolutely anti-biblical and even anti-constitutional. Well, friends, the tone could not have been more different when Rabbi Kahn returned to the inaugural prayer breakfast, which was held literally just several hours before Donald Trump succeeded Barack Obama as commander-in-chief. And in that message he delivered at the inaugural prayer breakfast, Kahn made some of the following statements. And friends, this has not gotten a lot of press, but you need to hear this because I think it's very, very important. He said, first and foremost, my message will be true and not politically correct. And then he said this, we come from every part of this land to stand before the Almighty, before whom kings and kingdoms rise and fall and nations ascend and descend. Who alone remains the same yesterday, today, and forever. America stood at the threshold in the face of an election that threatened to establish for ages the edicts of apostasy and the ways of godliness and an open war against the people and gospel of God. And then there was Donald Trump. There has never been a candidate like him, said Rabbi Kahn. Whoever it was, whatever it was that one was never supposed to do while running for president, he, Trump, did them all. And then Kahn concluded by saying this, as it was written in ancient times, it is no less true today. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, saith the Lord, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And then Kahn said, and we can bear witness today in the city of Washington, D.C., on January 20, 2017, with God, nothing shall be impossible. Sam, it sounds like to me that Rabbi Kahn, who is a messianic Jew, he is a converted Jew, sounds like he believes that God has placed Donald Trump in this position of leadership for the express purpose of protecting the United States of America and protecting the nation of Israel.
Well, I think you interpret that correctly. Jonathan Kahn has been one of those fellows who has been very, very, very bold, as you very clearly laid out. And he has written much about even from 9/11 and how that kind of fit. He has his view of how that fits into Scripture and all of that. But he's been very, very, very consistent. But Dave, you know, not only does Rabbi Kahn, Jonathan Kahn, believe and sense that God has raised up this individual as our president at this time, and around him a cabinet and a host of people who also understand who God is. They understand God's relationship to the nation of Israel. They understand freedom, and they understand the occultic, evil component elements of Islam as contained in the Quran. Dave, they understand these things. He's laying that out there. And Dave, I think it's interesting that as I have interfaced recently with people from around the world, some of them even at the prayer breakfast in D.C. when I was there last week, that there is a shared view by those who understand who God is, and not just in this country, but around the world, who were praying much that this would happen. They do believe, I think it's recognized almost universally by those across the world, that God has done something significant. And I think this encounter with evil that we're seeing here with Islam is the face of it, but it's not the only thing. The globalists are there, and they're occultic. They're not Islamic. These are just anti-God people, the anti-ideologies. He is confronting them head on, and I believe we're seeing a galvanizing, Dave. I think it's a galvanizing of those who have a fear of God and those who have completely and utterly rejected God. I think that's happening before our eyes.
Sam, I could not agree with you more. And Gary, let me go to you. But before I ask you a question, I want to set up something. What I've been doing since the inauguration of President Trump, in fact, even after he was elected, I've tried to help people understand and come to grips with the fact that he has pulled around him 28 phenomenal spiritual advisors. We have had one of those advisors on this program, former Minnesota Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, who has said that he follows the advice of these spiritual advisors, even over his political advisors. The decisions he has made with respect to moving the U.S. Embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, the fact that he stands behind our friend, the only friend we have in the Middle East, and that is the nation of Israel, the fact that he wants to see the repeal of the infamous Johnson Amendment of the tax code, the fact that he is a strong supporter of pastors being able to stand in their pulpits and preach the unmitigated word of God without having to fear some governmental entity looking over their shoulder and viewing their sermons and critiquing their sermons. All of these things I've tried to help people understand. And last night I did that again at the church where I'm privileged to speak, making it very clear that this is not a political message. In fact, my text was Psalm 11, verse 3, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? And the answer to that is not a throwing up of our hands in frustration. The implication being there's nothing we can do. No, there's much we can do. We can know certain things about God and his sovereign control, but there's certain things we can do as well. Gary, it is amazing to watch how that message is received and how people are encouraged when they understand that at the very least, as Cyrus was God's appointed individual in the days of Isaiah 45 to protect the nation of Israel, Donald Trump is at least been elevated by God, placed in this position for the protection of America. Tie all this together, if you would. And then, Gary, I'd like you to do this. I'd like you to close us in prayer for our president, and then for the revival that we believe must come to America, that needs to come to America, and the revival about which we have prayed for so long.
Well, David, you know, I am glad that people are beginning to wake up, or at least some people are beginning to wake up to realize that Donald Trump has been raised up by God to protect America. That is sound doctrine. That's biblical truth. Romans chapter 13, verse 1 says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God." And down in verse 3, it tells us that rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. In other words, the responsibility of a ruler is to terrorize terror and, stand for the good and stand against evil. And that's what Donald Trump is doing. He is terrorizing terror. He wants to protect the United States of America. And I'm glad that in Donald Trump, we have a man that has been raised up by God. We may not always agree with everything that he says or even the way that he does things, but he's been raised up by God to protect this nation, and he is fulfilling Romans chapter 13 and verse 3. And for any Christian that does not agree to that, I say to them that they are in the same ballpark as Israel was back in Hosea chapter 8 and verse 12, where they count the things of the law of God as a strange thing. Let's pray. Father, we thank you once again that you have given us a president who is doing what he can to terrorize evil, to terrorize terror, to stand against that which would want to destroy this nation. It's my prayer that you'll give him the strength, the wisdom, and the courage to continue to take that strong stand for our nation, to which we'll give you the praise as you protect him from evil. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Gary, thank you so much. Friends, even as we speak, the national debate over to President Trump's executive order appears now to be headed to the Supreme Court, where Neil Gorsuch, his nominee, may be making a decision along with the other eight justices with respect to that. So now the national debate heightens yet again. We'll be talking about this and a whole lot more on tomorrow's Stand in the Gap today. Don't miss it. Till then, have a great day.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. we seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap Today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.
Live from beautiful West Norriton Township. This is AM 1180. AM 1180. WFYL.